This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Seattle Unity, how are you? I hope everybody's staying safe and trying to stay as sane as we can these trying times. But we have faith, and I'm so honored to be here today with you guys and everybody here. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Seattle Unity, for everything throughout the years. Let's go to church. I'll go in and play some songs for you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to Seattle Unity's online Sunday service. My name is Reverend Karen Lindvig, and I am the Unity Minister here at Seattle Unity. So I'd like to begin with our vision statement, which is, we are an accessible and inclusive spiritual sanctuary for all ages and stages of life. We offer spiritual practices in a community that honors diversity and encourages self-empowerment. We co-create a world that works for all. So I have a few announcements before we begin this morning, and that is that Father's Day is coming up and we have a slideshow. So if you would like to include a picture of your father or you as a father, please send your photos to erinm@seattleunity.org. And if she already does have a picture from previous years, please let her know that it's okay to use it again. I invite you to join us at our fellowship hour at 10:45 and also our Wednesday night service. You can find more about all of this again at seattleunity.org. So now I'd like to begin with our opening statements. So if you would, prepare yourself just for a moment of prayer. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. I invite you to breathe in this truth, to hold this truth in the center of your heart. Breathing in that goodness. And now we send it out. Send it out to all who are in need. You don't even have to know who they are. Just knowing that this prayer and this harmonious energy goes forth to bless. And so we do affirm this, and we are grateful in the name and through the power of the living spirit of truth, and it is so. Amen. And now I'd like to introduce Heidi Nathy, our youth education director, who has a couple of announcements and information about our youth department.
Hello, Seattle Unity. I'm Heidi Nathy, and I'm your new youth ed director. I've been a part of youth and family ministry for 23 years and a part of Seattle's since 2011. I am looking forward to seeing everybody in person and co-creating a wonderful youth and family ministry program. Until we meet again, I have been creating videos for Children's Church. These videos currently are on I Have the Power. This is a reminder of the Christ Spirit that lives in each and every one of us. Our videos can be found on our new webpage at seattleunity.org, Youth and Family Ministry. The easiest way to find the page is to go to Seattle's homepage, scroll to the bottom, and you'll find a link. June is a fun and exciting time for our kids. School is getting out, and it's time for camp. Our Northwest region offers two camps, Kids Camp and Unitreat. Kids Camp is for ages 7 to 11, and Unitreat is for ages 11 to 13. These events will be virtual events this year, but I know that our coordinators are creating an exciting and interactive events for all of our youth. Until I see you again, have a great day and blessings to you all.
We prepare now for meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in the seat where you are. And I know in this virtual setting, it can be easy to take this time to take care of tasks or maybe do some other things. But I want to invite you to actually take a moment to pause. To pause in the busyness, and I know we've enjoyed the music we've already heard. And just take a breath. For in this moment, I'm going to invite us to tune into our heart and tune into our body. Our body, which holds our emotions, our spirit, and everything that's going on in our life and the world around us. And so I'm going to lead us through a meditation and just checking in internally. We'll have a few minutes of silence in the middle of it, and then I will lead us back out again. And so again, taking a few deep breaths, just allowing our breathing to slow. If you're comfortable, closing your outer eyes in order to tune in within. Feeling your feet on the ground. Feeling the chair supporting you. Just truly honoring the gift of this moment. Stepping into fully an opportunity to be still. And take a few minutes now to just scan your body. Notice if there's places where you are holding tension. And just notice. There's no need to change anything in this moment. Notice around your eyes and your face, down your neck and shoulders. If there's any tension there, just inviting them to drop, to rest into this moment right now, knowing there's nothing you need to do, nothing you need to hold. Simply being present to yourself, your spirit. Allowing your awareness to drop down into your heart. There was so much going on in the world right now. Our heart is one of the places that can carry so much. And we can get busy taking in the news and information and everything swirling around us. Without giving enough time to presence to what our heart is really holding. And so right now in this moment, I invite you to be totally present to your own tender heart. Feeling into, listening into what it's holding right now in this moment. And gently, lovingly, just being present to whatever is there. In this space of awareness, of tenderly presencing to our own being, our own heart, our spirit and soul, the greater spirit that connects us to all things and all people. I invite us to rest in this silence for just a few minutes. Gently coming back to this space and this time, this present moment. Moving your fingers and your toes, your neck. Again, breathing, coming present to this moment. And when you're ready, opening your eyes. knowing that we can return to this moment at any time, pausing to be still. And may you find these moments throughout your day and your week. And now let us enjoy some music together.
Welcome to our online Sunday service. I'm Reverend Karen Lynn Vig, Senior Minister here at Seattle Unity. Thank you for joining us today. Well, this has been an intense couple of weeks. In fact, it has been an intense 2020. In some ways, it feels like we are collectively giving birth. And any woman who has given birth knows how hard and painful a process it is. And you have to see it through. It's not like you're in the process of giving birth and say, I'm going to go home now. I'll let you finish it for me. So we're in this birth, if you will, and we are being called to see it through and not to go back to sleep and not to ignore it. So we've seen over the past couple of weeks protests around the country, which have now spread around the world. And unlike other protests, this one is not going to go away. We have been in a swirling cauldron where we have been quarantined for over 2 months, where many have lost jobs. Unemployment is at 1.8 million. We're in the middle of a pandemic with over 109,000 deaths in the United States. And this swirling cauldron has exploded into grief and anger and rage over the death of George Floyd. His death was filmed by a bystander while his neck was compressed by an officer's knee while he was handcuffed in the back for nearly 9 minutes. And many of you have probably watched that video and watched him beg for his life and say over and over, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And this has become a mantra, if you will, for all those who have been oppressed and felt that they can't breathe by the systems in which we live. In what ways have you felt that you can't breathe? So I invite you to breathe. So we know that this is just one of many deaths, and I'm going to speak just a few of their names now that we remember and take a moment of silence. And that is Breonna Taylor, Sandra Bland, Paul Castaway, Melissa Ventura, Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Manuel Ellis, Tony McDade, Ahmaud Arbery, and countless others whose names we don't know. And the only reason we know about so much of this now is because of our cell phones and our cameras that we didn't have access to before. So it's not like this wasn't happening, it's that we didn't see it. And so now, or the white community didn't see it, so it's being brought out into the light for us to see, and so no wonder to see, so that no wonder there is this outrage, there's this outpouring of grief, there's this outpouring of anger and frustration, because this has gone on for way too long. So let's just take a moment of silence and breath. And again, breathe into your pain, breathe into spaciousness and openness, so we may begin the healing. So we are at a crossroads, and we can choose to try and keep the status quo, or we can move forward with tremendous change and transformation. The First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so this is what we have been seeing in the last couple of weeks. It's time to address the grievances of the African American community. It's time to address the grievances of systematic racism, the legacy of slavery, of white privilege. General Mattis said this week that we do not need to militarize our response to protests. We need to unite around us a common purpose. And it starts by guaranteeing that all of us are equal before the law. And so we go back to the beginning. Our country is about 243 years old. And it's in a process of a place, I think, where we look at how are we going to move forward. And part of moving forward is the willingness to look at the shadow, to look at the things that we're not looking at, so that we can transform them and move forward. So what we have seen this past week is an expression of this amendment through primarily peaceful protests. Now, granted, some of the protests have turned violent, and the looting has been awful to watch. And one of the images that have stayed with me is of an African-American woman, an elderly African-American woman, who's standing in front of her business, and the windows have been shattered and the place has been destroyed. And she said, I have worked here my whole life. This, I own part of this business. How is this Black Lives Matter? How does this help me? This does not help anything. Stop it. Just stop it. Some have shown up to literally fan the flames of violence. I saw another video with a man, I believe it was in New York, who drove up into an intersection with peaceful protesters, and he jumps out of his car and he has lit fireworks that he sets on the ground, and it's, you know, it's going. And before he can get back in his car, one of the protesters picked it up and threw it inside of his car, and then it went inside the car. No one was injured because he wasn't back in his car, but it was like, boom, instant karma, you know, just putting out that fire to just sort of blow everything up for people, and then to have it go off in his own car, you know, it was instant karma. So we have seen the violence. Martin Luther King said, I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And so the soul protests, I can't breathe. He goes on to say that I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. Now, one thing that I heard about all this that's been going on is that the media tends to get bored if nothing's happening. And if you think about all the protests that have happened over the last couple of years and how the media doesn't even really sometimes cover them. It's like, really? There were 10,000 people there? I didn't know. And unfortunately, when something is on fire or something is being looted, all of a sudden, there's the attention. Now, I am not in any way condoning violence or looting, absolutely not, but it is interesting to think about where the media has put its attention. And so after the flames, especially the first few days, started to settle down, what we began to see more and more are the peaceful protesters who are exercising their rights. So how do people take this energy of the protests and bring transformative action? Michael Romaine from Illinois said, the chaos is a symptom of our problems and should not be confused with powerful actions targeting those problems, deep century-old problems. Now is not the time for undisciplined thinking and for putting human beings, whether they be police or protesters, and living ideas like law and order and justice into lazy categories. We need laws that are just. We need civil order that is premised on equity. We need police who are not racist, and we need actual equality of opportunity for Black people, and we need an economy that values all people over profits. So this is what the call is screaming for. Dallas Bishop T.D. Jakes. I think that our rush to get back to normalcy has caused us to over and over again be unproductive in bringing about long-term systematic changes that are actionable, that are satisfying, and that causes America to live up to its creed and its highest ideals. So I say again, our country is 243 years old, and we are at a crossroads, and it is time for the nation to face its shadow. The shadow of slavery and the atrocities committed to the Native American people. And then, so how do we move forward? How do we breathe? How do we breathe new life into this? Last week I talked about the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, particularly when Jesus said, resist not evil, and it's like, oh boy, here we go. But it's about asking, what are we in favor of? What can we move forward? And so, yes, the expression of all of this is so important and needed and has to be expressed. But after it settles, how do we move forward? And that's the question that every single one of us has to look at in ourselves and come to that realization, to come to that solution. Michael Curry is a presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. He said that we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and we need to look at how does love show up? How does breath, he's not saying breath, but I am. How does breath show up, right? How do we birth this new world that has to, because if it doesn't birth, we're going to destroy ourselves. He said, love looks like calling on officials and demanding they fulfill their duty to protect the dignity of every child of God. Love looks like making the long-term commitment to racial healing, justice, and truth-telling, and knowing that without intentional ongoing intervention on the part of every person of goodwill, America will cling to its original racist way of being. Love looks like working with local police departments to build relationships with the community and develop mechanism that holds officers accountable. It means ensuring that no police officer with a history of unauthorized force or radicalized violence is shielded and allowed to endanger the lives of those they sworn to protect and to preserve. So, a small example of this is in Fayetteville, North Carolina. The protesters ran into the police, as you will, and there was resistance, right? And the police officers, because it was a tense moment because they had told the crowd to go back, all the police officers got down on one knee. And when they got down on one knee, it transformed the energy of the entire situation that was happening. It not only diffused it, but it breathed life into it. It transformed it. As a show of understanding the pain that is in our community and our nation regarding equality, the Fayetteville Police Department took a knee to show that we also stand for justice for everyone. We are committed to listening and treating everyone with dignity and respect. It ended with handshakes and hugs between the officers and the protesters. So this is one tiny breath. It is one tiny movement forward in all of this. So I ask you this week, as we move forward and continue to watch events unfold, that if you protest, protest peacefully, recognizing that it is your right, particularly to address grievances to the government. Finally, in closing, Reverend Angel Kyodo Williams said, what is required is a new dharma, a radical dharma that deconstructs rather than amplifies the systems of suffering, that starves rather than fertilizes the soil of the conditions that the deep roots of societal suffering grow in. Our theme for this year has been planting seeds of grace. So now is your opportunity to look deep in your heart, to breathe into whatever that is for you, your part in this, and to breathe life. To breathe life as we birth a new reality together, knowing that yes, it's hard, yes, it's painful, but it leads to something new, miraculous, and wonderful. Have a wonderful week, my friend.
We come to that time in our service when we give thanks and celebrate the prosperity of this ministry and the lives of all those who are connected to it. And so we invite you to donate using the number text to give 206-350-8448. Enter the word to give and you will be prompted from there. You can also give through our website at seattleunity.org. And if you are unable to give a financial gift at this time, we invite you to hold the intention of what you would give if you were able. And we are so grateful for all those who participate in this flow of giving and receiving. And we give thanks for the generosity of our community and all those who are participating in this service in whatever way. And so we see each gift returning to the giver a millionfold, and give thanks for that generosity and the ways that it's showing up in your life as well. So let us now close with our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Many blessings to you, and may you enjoy a beautiful week. Take care.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys.